The Torah in the beginning of this week's Sedra states, Eile tekudei ha-mishkan mishkan ho-edus asher pukar al-pi Moshe, avodas al-viyim b'yadi samar ben Aron ha-kohen. These are the enumerations of the Mishkan that were counted by the command of Moshe, the work of the Levim supervised by Itamar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. The Torah proceeds to list the materials that were donated and how those materials were used. Regarding the gold, the Torah tells us, Kol ha-zahav ha-sui la-macha, b'chol melechas ha-kodesh, v'hi zahav ha-tznufa, etc. It gives us in very general terms. However, it doesn't provide with us with any specifics of how the gold was used. The amount of silver and copper that was collected is also enumerated, and we are informed of the specific things that were made from them. The Adnei Pesach Ol Moed, the sockets used for the entrance to the Heichal, the Mizbeach and Achoshes, and so on and so forth. With respect to the silver, however, the presentation is different. There the Torah tells us the exact amount of silver, exactly how it was used, exactly how much was used for each socket of the Krashim, and how many sockets, how many Adonim there were. But there was still some silver left over, because only 600,000 half shkalim were required for the Adonim. What about the remaining 3,550 half shkalim? Those, the Torah tells us, were used for the hooks on the pillars of the courtyard, which held up the klayim, as well as for the decorative elements on those pillars. What do we learn from this enumeration? Why is all of this detail necessary? Why, after we have listed all the kalim, is it necessary to give a precise accounting? The answer is that when dealing with communal funds, there are at least three important principles that need to be adhered to. Number one, the importance of following proper procedures. Number two, the importance of a proper attitude towards spending communal funds. And number three, the importance of giving a precise accounting, or perhaps better formulated, transparency. It is the third requirement that our parsha teaches us. The Mishnah in Shkalim states, "Ein osin srara latzibor b'mamon pachos mishnayim." One may not appoint fewer than two people with the power of collection. The Gemara in Baba Basra that we learned earlier this year tells us that when they would collect tzedakah for the kupa, which was not distributed immediately, they would have two people, whereas the division of the kupa money to the poor necessitated three. The Gemara observes that the requirement of two people is not an issue of nemonus, of trust, but an issue of srara, the exercising of coercive power. That is, that srara requires at least two individuals, probably out of respect for the community. However, when it comes to the distribution of the money, three people are required because it is considered dine mamonos, civil case. That is, that allocating communal money to one individual or one cause means taking away from others. It is not acceptable for the Gabbai Tzedakah to do whatever he sees fit. There is an obligation of justice or judgment, a proper calculus of the needs, what is important, and who or what should be given precedence. Everything that is given to one poor person is something that cannot be used for another. On a certain level, it's not only dine mamonos, it's also dine nefashos. So this is as to regards to having procedures. There are many, many more details, but this is just an example of Chazal's concern. With respect to the proper attitude towards the disbursement of communal funds. Communal funds, the mamon shel tzibur, are not the property of an aggregate of individuals. The tzibur is its own entity, and communal funds once donated belong collectively to the community. This point was a misunderstanding that the Kohanim had in the Bayis Sheni period, and the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to correct them. The Kohanim believed that every person gives a machtis ha-shekel, and that each person owns a corresponding share of the communal funds. Thus, when a korban tzibur is brought, each contributor has a direct share in that korban. It is a shutvus, a partnership of individuals, not a collective entity. The Kohanim then made the following sequence of arguments. Number one, the Torah tells us in Parshas Tzav that the mincha of a kohen must be burned in its entirety. Number two, the omer and the shtei halachem, or korbanos mincha, brought from communal funds, and the Torah commands that they be eaten. by the Kohanim. Number three, if the Kohanim were to contribute the mandatory Machzis HaShekel, then part of the Omer and the Shnei Alechem would be a Minchas Kohen, and hence could not be eaten, contradicting the previous point. Thus, they concluded that Kohanim were not allowed to contribute a Machzis HaShekel, lest they be violating the Chol Minchas Kohen Kalil Tielo Seochel. Hence, Kol Kohen Sheshokel is Chotem. Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai responded, mocking them, that no, Kohanim Dorshim Mikras Eliatzman. The priests cite scripture for their own purpose. Why? Because communal funds are not an aggregate of the money of individuals. Rather, they are a corporate ownership of Klal Yisrael. Thus, there is no portion of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem that could be labeled as a Minchas Kohen. Thus, he ruled, Ko Kohen She'ino Shokel Chote. Any Kohen who does not contribute to Machzis Shekel sins, because everyone, every male above the age of 20 is obligated to contribute the Machzis HaShekel, including the Kohan. When money is contributed to the community, it no longer has the name of that individual attached to it. Of course, money can be donated with conditions for what it should be used and the credit that should be given, but as long as those wishes are adhered to, the donor has no say or control over those funds. And perhaps herein lies the danger. Having no owners may lead individuals who are in charge of dispersing those funds to be careless because the funds belong to no one. And here's where things get very interesting. Ordinarily, when you have corporate ownership in halacha, where no individuals have discrete rights within property, we are dealing with what is called mamon she'ein lo tovim. There is no claimant to this property, and no one can sue a person who damages that property. For example, if a person separates truma from their produce, and then they or someone else destroys it before it is given to the kohen, there is no legal liability because there is no one who has standing to sue, because the tortfeasor can always claim that he would have given it to a different kohen. But communal funds are not that way. The Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of Shkalim tells us that if the townspeople send their Shkalim with a shaliach, and they were lost and stolen on the way due to negligence, then somebody has to make good to Hefesh. If the Trumas Halishka had already been separated before the money was lost through negligence, then the messenger must pay. Even though this would appear to be mamon she'ein lo tovim. Apparently, the halacha treats the mamon of the tzibur as if it has tovim. There is a responsibility when people are negligent with the tzibur's money. In this regard, one looks at the salaries of top officers of some Jewish communal organizations, and they are exorbitant. This, I'm sure, is a problem in non-Jewish organizations as well. In fairness, we want our communal organizations to be able to hire talented people to run them. But at the same time, there has to be a sense that these are communal funds. Finally, the third thing of importance, the story of this week's parsha is Accounting 101. Moshe Rabbeinu provides an accounting. According to the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Moshe provided an accounting because people were grumbling that he was enriching himself from communal funds. My bet personally, it was probably Korach and Dasan and Abiram. Hearing this, he resolved to address the problem by giving an accounting. This is the same point emphasized in the Mishnah in Shkalim. The Mishnah there tells us that the Kohen who entered to separate the Trumas Halishka could not have suit pockets or hems. He had to wear a simple robe with no place where one could stash coins. Why? Because if he became wealthy, people would say that the wealth was stolen from the Lishka. And if he became poor, people would say that he was punished because he stole from the Lishka. Of course, this, just as an aside, shows you that when you lead in a community, you perform functions sometimes, you can never win. But the Medrash continues, the Mishnah continues. Lefi she'adam tzarech latzei sidei habriyos kiderech she'tzarech latzei sidei shamayim. She'nemar v'yisem nekiyem me'ashem v'yisrael v'omer umtzochein v'sechel tov v'inei elokim v'adam. That it is not just impropriety that is a problem, it is even the appearance of impropriety is a problem. Handling of communal funds must be done in a way that everything is above suspicion. If one runs a shul or a yeshiva or a mikvah or any other institution that uses communal funds, it must be done in a way to avoid suspicion. In other words, transparency. This transparency is essential with all communal funds, but it is especially important when it comes to a tax that a community levies. This is the reason why the accounting of the silver was so detailed. The gold and the copper were voluntary, and they also required an accounting, but theirs was comparatively perfunctory. On the other hand, the silver was accounted for down to the half shekel, because the half shekel was a tax. People had no choice whether they wanted to give it. Now, not that, God forbid, one can be lax with voluntary donations, but even greater oversight is required when it is mandatory. But then comes something rather frightening. The Medrash describes the accounting process. Omer Lahem, Moshe said to them, Bo'u, come, v'ani ese lefneichem cheshbon. I'll give you a detailed accounting. Omer Lahem, Moshe, eile tekudei ha-mishkan. Kach v'kach yotzal ha-mishkan. This and that, all these things, ad shehu yoshev u'mechashev. He's sitting there and thinking, v'shochach be'elach u'shvameyos v'chamisha v'shivim shekel ma'asha asavavim l'amudim. He gives the full account of the Adonim, almost all the Machzis HaShekel, and he forgot what happened to the other 1175 Shkalim. Hischil Yoshehu Masmiya. He started to wonder, oh my God. Omar, Achshav Yisrael Motzim Yideim Lomar Moshe Latolam. The Jewish people are going to accuse me that I stole them. Ma'asa, what happened? Heyer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eina V'ra Osam Asuyim Vavim Lamudim. Moshe Rabbeinu, I would say, Medrash doesn't say it literally, looked up. And he saw the Amudim, he saw the silver around him. And that's why, by the way, the truff is the way it is. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was fixated, what was what the 1175? All of a sudden, the Azla. Moshe was terrified that people would accuse him of stealing a little bit, of having a personal slush fund. At that moment, God enlightened him. Osa Shah, at that time, Nispaisu ko Yisrael al Malachas HaMishkan. The Jewish people were satisfied. They were very happy over the Malachas HaMishkan. Mi garam lo, what caused this? Ayidei sheyashav upisan. Because Moshe Rabbeinu understood he needed to placate them. He needed to provide them with transparency, with a full accounting. Havai eilef kudei HaMishkan. The Ribbono Shel Olam trusted Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no human being in history who was more God-fearing than Moshe. B'chol beisine emonhu. But even Moshe Rabbeinu had to give an accounting to the Yotzei Yedei HaBrios. Nobody, regardless of the esteem in which they hold themselves, is beyond having to give an accounting. It doesn't matter how great a Talmud Chacham, doesn't matter how big a Gvir, Eile Fikudei HaMishkan. There is, however, another reason why a public accounting, why this transparency is so important. And that is, Al Ta'amein Ta'atzmacha Ayom Osecha. If one understands from the start that one will have to give a public accounting, then they will be less likely to act irresponsibly. If one thinks or knows that no one is looking, they may be tempted to do things that they would never consider doing if they knew or thought that it would become public. If at the end of the month one has to explain how every dollar was spent, even the 750 shkalim, then they will likely think twice before spending money on frivolous things, or hiring their relatives, or using contractors who are their friends. As the expression goes, there is no greater disinfectant than sunlight. Homiletically speaking, Pi HaDrush, the Mishnah Avos tells us, Hillel Omer, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur, Ve'al Tamin Ba'atzmacha Yom Osecha, Ve'al Todin Es Chavercha Ad Shetagia Lemkomo, Ve'al Tomar Davar She'efsha Lishmoa She'sofa Lehishama, Ve'al Tomar L'Sh'efne Eshna Shema Lo Tifaneh. Hillel Omer Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur. You can't be separate from the community. You can't think that if you're running a communal institution that you are above the community and therefore you don't have to give an accounting. Unless you tell yourself, but I'm an honest person, I would never do anything improperly. V'al tamin ta'atzmecha ayom osecha. Don't have such trust in yourself until you're dead. As the Medrash tells us, L'kdoshim asher ba'aretz. God doesn't consider anyone to be a kadosh until they are ba'aretz, that is 6 feet under. Once you die, you will sin no more. But until then, you can never be sure. You can never be sure you won't fall prey to the temptation. Then a caution for all of us. Al tadin es chavercha ad shetagia lemkomo. In judging communal institutions, until you know what you're talking about, don't rush to judgment. I have seen institutions that are reluctant to reveal budgets. And one of the reasons that they're reluctant to do so is that people will start questioning this, that, or the other thing. And they're not wrong in one sense, because if you don't understand how an institution has to be run fiscally, you start asking, well, why are they spending on this? Why are they spending that? First, you have to be educated as to what are necessities for an institution and what are not. Then you can start asking the questions. But then again, a warning to the people who spend the tzibor's money. Ve'al tomar davar she'i esher l'shmoa she'sofa l'hishama. Don't do things in a way that nobody's possibly going to be able to understand. Don't engage in complex transactions and cheshbonos that you think in the end is going to be sofa l'hishama. You have to do things in such a way that people can understand from the start why choices are being made. Ve'al tomar l'ch'efne eshne shema lo tipana. Don't say, I'll do things my way, and ultimately we'll come out ahead. You may never get the chance to settle the accounts. What a person does with their own money, to a great extent, is their right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted them with that money, and they have broad latitude, halachically speaking, in how to spend it. But this does not apply to communal funds in their disbursement. Communal funds must be dispersed following proper procedures. The decisions on how to spend those funds have to be made only considering the needs of the community and not those dispersing them. And transparency needs to be the default option, because the money doesn't belong to the trustees, but to the tzibur. Eile tekudeh ha-mishkan asher pukad al-pi Moshe. Permit me for a moment to speak in practical terms. My comments here are not responding to a particular event or institution, and let me be clear, these comments have not been spurred by anything having to do with YU. Some of you may be familiar with the Form 990 that most nonprofits have to file. That demands a certain level of transparency, especially for small institutions, albeit in a delayed fashion. It often takes some time before those even become available. But the information there, especially in institutions of size, is fairly minimal. And there is a major carve-out in the law from that rule, that is, houses of worship, shuls. For any institution that claims to adhere to Torah values, and this would include, I hope, any shul or yeshiva, this level of disclosure is simply inadequate. Even if they are exempt by law, every Beis HaKnesses and every yeshiva should be filling out such a form as a start. If they don't already, and make it available immediately, and then they should go far beyond that by publishing a reasonably detailed budget for all to see. It doesn't mean you can see every individual salary, but there should be a very good sense of where the money is going. The fact that the law doesn't require it doesn't matter. The minimum requirements of American law, and for that matter, American law in general, in no way shed light on what Torah values are. We believe that we answer to a higher authority. Adam tzarech lotzeis yidei habriyas kiderech shetzarech lotzeis b'yinei hamakom, shenemar v'yisim nekiyam Hashem v'Yisrael. And thus, we read in our parsha this week, Eile fekudei hamishkan mishkan ha'idus asher pukad al-pi Moshe. Good Shabbos.